it's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I am your host, Gene Bolduc, joined by my good friend and friend of the show, Penny Rich, chair of the Orange County Commissioners and troublemaker at large.
That's
I'm
right.
just going to say you're our senior troublemaker correspondent.
Well, you know, I definitely resemble that remark.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a list of approximately 700 items that we want to talk about. We're going to try to narrow it down to a few. One of the things we'll get to a little bit later on is light rail and what happened, which I think most people know by and large, but then also what happens next, more importantly, to make sure that this big investment about learning about how to meet this need doesn't end up just going nowhere because people still need the transportation. I do want to talk a little bit, while we're talking about that, about Fair Housing Month. April is Fair Housing Month, very important.
And very important.
You all are going to have your proclamation at your next meeting, I think.
We are.
If we get a chance, we can talk a little bit about the budget process and about how that all works and what's coming next and how folks can get involved in that if they're interested in a particular issue. Or we can, if we run out of time, we can have you come back to talk about that.
Absolutely.
There's always a lot to talk about in the budget.
Budget season, yeah.
But I wanted to start out with,
oh boy,
you know, intruder alert, this hack of the Orange County systems. And this is not the website we're talking about with somebody putting funny messages up. This is actually a pretty serious systems breach.
Sure.
And, you know, tell us, you know, how you all found out about this and what happened and what's happened as a result. Fascinating to me.
It is. So Jim Northrup, our IT guy, he's director of IT.
Busy fellow lately.
Busy. He got it on Monday and realized that something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these IT guys, I love them to death, but they're kind of nerdy when it comes to like looking
Thank
at their
goodness.
Computers.
Yes.
Yeah, and saying, hey, something's not right. He immediately shut everything down.
Right.
Like he didn't even take a breath. And shut everything down, let us all know, immediately.
Shut down first, ask questions later.
And it was a good thing. There was a virus that was sent our way. And it had a chance of compromising, our systems in general.
Yeah.
So, you know, how you would go online and pay for things or, you know, how does the Register of Deeds issue marriage licenses? How do you research anything? How do you create agendas? So they went through the procedures that, you know, that governments have to go through. And just to make it clear.
So, of course, they have a protocol for dealing with this.
There is a protocol.
Right?
And, you know, let's be clear, though. Every governmental body is always on high alert for attacks because they get attacked all the time.
All the time.
We are not that unusual.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't have to work for Hillary Clinton's campaign to get hacked.
No, but it is interesting, though, because the first thing you do think is it the Russians, the Chinese, or, you know, someone else? So there's no appearance of this yet. We're still working on it, and I don't know that they're going to disclose it once they find out, because that would be...
Well, that would compromise their investigation.
The investigation, exactly.
Right.
So when everything was shut down, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do anything. There were no emails. There were no... I mean, it was... It's so weird, Gene, though, if you think about it, right?
I know.
We are so dependent on these computers. People in the offices couldn't work.
It's true.
They
it's really
not
true.
Do when, their jobs.
When I worked at the Housing Authority in Durham some years ago, not that many years ago, you know, we have our local area network, right? So I can share files with people who work in the building and that kind of stuff. So we had not a hack, but we had a systems issue that meant that they had to take the whole system down so nobody had internet access and whatever. And people were out going from office to office, and instead of sending emails, we're just having in-person meetings, which we lovingly called that sneaker net was activated. And it was really interesting. I was a communications director, so it was a little extra difficult for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, we did kind of a debrief with the senior management after that. And we said, you know, What do you think the positives were that you took away from that, from just being caused to get up from your desk and walk down the hall, or in that case, sometimes, you know, drive out to one of the 17 properties that the Housing Authority manages. You know, the phones worked okay. And so people would call each other on the phone.
Right. Well, that's what's happening in the county. A lot of phone calls.
Yeah, a lot of phone calls and a lot of, you know, handwritten notes that would then be codified into emails later when the system was back up.
Right. But if you think about that,
it's amazing how paralyzing that is.
And so dependent. So when the emails finally came back up, everybody, of course, had to change their passwords. And, you know, so you had to go through that whole process.
Right.
And when they finally did come back up, as you can imagine, you know, there are like hundreds of emails now that you're like, wow, that's like from 3 days ago. I don't even know if I need to reply to that anymore because it's passed, you know.
So
it took us about a week to clean all the computers. We have about 1,500 computers in the county. Roughly 100 seem to have been severely affected.
So thanks to the fast action of your IT director.
Oh, my God. He's not been sleeping. His crew has not been sleeping. I mean, they were 24/7 and then over the weekend. And then so, I wouldn't say that we're 100% out of the woods yet because they're, you know, every once in a while you see something like, that's not right. So it's just the end part, you know, when you're trying to get it all out. But, I really give them a lot of credit for getting us out of this. And we've had help from outside vendors and outside people and, you know, people that have gone through this before. Like I said, we are not the first. We are not the
last.
Right.
And I know that I was getting some emails from being on the one of the many lists that the county maintains for press and for the public. I mean, there's no special privileges for press on that score. And you know, just had brief announcements as the process went along saying, here's what's happened. And these systems are down. And if you have, you know, a problem with your tax record, you know, you need to call the tax office.
You need to call them, right.
If you've sent emails during this period, they may not have gotten through. And so, you know, if you've been communicating, you know, one way or the other, you might need to just follow up and make sure that what you thought was going to happen has happened. One of the first things I thought of was the elections, the Board of Elections, and those records. But as we were talking about earlier, I think that all the counties in the state, all of those records are held centrally now, right?
Yes. And
which
so
is kind of more vulnerable in its own way.
It sort of
something
is.
Something to think about.
Right. Mm. But we do have to say that no one's information was compromised.
Right.
So all the information that you know, that the personal information on the computer system in the county, it's all encrypted.
Right.
So you can try and hack into that, but then you have to write a program to
break
the
encryption.
And you don't even know how it's encrypted.
Right.
So they do a really good job of securing people's information. So no one was compromised.
So it was a breach by way of a virus, but it wasn't a person on the other end of a computer trying to come in through the back window. It was just a virus that penetrated.
That's unknown.
As far as we know.
That's unknown.
I think that's
so
now I'm nervous about it.
Well, I think that's why the investigation continues.
Yeah.
And you gotta think about who's investigating. I'm not gonna like tell you everyone, but there is whenever there's a government breach.
Right.
Think about
well, because the threat to the Orange County government offices, to my mind, you know, if I live in any county in the state and I find out that a county government's offices have been breached in this way, I'm just assuming that it's coming for that this is a target of county offices, not one in particular necessarily.
That's right.
So
I don't think they picked us out because we're the happy clappy liberals in the middle of the state.
I don't know. It could be that though. It could be that. I think that's a credible approach. We talk about national politics a lot, but you know, this kind of thing is the kind of thing that the federal government should be making funds available. And I think a lot of the Democrats running for next year are saying, you know, we need to make funds available.
That's right.
Not for the federal government to get involved in doing it, but to help to defray the cost to local governments, because local governments have to do it.
It costs a fortune.
You have to protect
yourselves.
That's
right. And it's the new reality that this is going to happen. We know this happened in 2016 in the presidential election. We know whatever report wants to say whatever. We know that right. that there were computers that were hacked and that information was manipulated. We know that.
Right.
And I think you're right. I think Democrats do want to protect the American citizens from this kind of act.
And our process, you know, our process is about us deciding what to do with us.
Right.
And this should only be us. That's you know, it is breathtaking to me that that's a partisan issue. But apparently it is
apparently,
now.
Apparently so.
So fine, we'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take it. Mm. And we'll still protect everybody.
Right.
Even though,
Yeah.
You know, it's a little hard to, I don't know.
But anyway. We're doing well. We're almost back on track all the way. But we just, you know, we're going to be mindful and not bring right. everything up 100% until we're sure.
We're absolutely sure
done.
That everything's
because that's
clear.
When you don't want to allow yourself to be
reinfected with it because yeah. it's a virus and these things will replicate themselves throughout a system.
That, yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just like you think you're over the flu and you get up and do too much and your body goes, oh I don't know.
Oh, that's not going to work.
Maybe
yeah.
I'm going to have a relapse and that.
Maybe you should go back to bed.
They call these viruses for a reason because
exactly.
they behave just like them.
Exactly.
They find vulnerabilities and exploit them. And, you know, I mean, it's tax systems and the way we pay a lot of bills.
Yes,
and,
everything now.
And everything that the county pays for going out. I just can't even think of what would happen if that was breached.
Yep.
So the caution is very appropriate, and I'm grateful for it. So yeah. thank you for that, Penny Rich. Now I'm not going to worry about that anymore.
Good.
And we're going to be back with more with Penny Rich here on the Weekend Water Cooler. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And we're back. We're back with Penny Rich. And we're going to talk now about light rail.
Oh, boy.
What a heavy subject, light rail. you know, I'm just going to, we're recording on the Friday of the first game of the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Duke and Carolina playing tonight, not each other. And, you know, hopefully when this program is airing, they'll both be in the Final Four.
That would be nice.
At some point playing each other. This is what we all hope for every year around here. It's
we
one
do.
More go at Duke.
Right.
So we have plenty of reasons to be unhappy with Duke, but I must say I have lots of friends in Durham who are rabid Duke fans. They are not happy about what happened.
Furious.
With light rail. I'm saying not happy because, you know, it's a family show. So
sure.
So I think that we know that what happened is that Duke just decided somewhere along the way, not necessarily right when we found out about it, but probably sometime before that, that they just had insurmountable concerns. My concern about the whole thing and how it went, sorry for the pun, only a little bit sorry, how it went off the rails,
yeah.
is the issue of good faith between
yeah.
and among the communities. This kind of thing, you know, if people are going to remember this in 25 years, they're going to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, Duke said they would do it, and then we'll
and then
see, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make collaboration even more difficult. So my first question is a little bit at an angle, which is there any process by which, and then we'll talk about sort of the mechanics of what
mm-hmm.
happens next.
Sure.
Is there any process, is there any debrief process where officials from Orange and officials from Durham, including Duke, but not only Duke, sit down and say, what the hell happened here?
Yeah. And that's a really good point. I think for you and I were talking a little bit before we started the show that we do have some legal obligations in the agreement.
Right.
As far as meetings are concerned, if this did happen. So, you know, the lawyers, of course, always cover everything before you start
right.
going into agreement. So we know that we as the cost sharing partners, meaning Go Triangle, Orange County and Durham County
right.
do have to meet. Even now, Go Triangle does not put any money into it, so all tax dollars from Orange and Durham. But they're part of the group as
right.
well as we do need to get the MPO involved, also the Metropolitan Planning Organization. But it's a good point. We will be meeting and talking and debriefing, but I don't know that we were we planned on having inviting Duke to the table because we didn't know this was going to happen. Yeah. And you're right. There were a lot of concerns along the way with Duke. And every time they brought a concern forward, Go Triangle came up with some sort of reply that they thought was adequate and that they were, you know, before the leadership changed over, it seemed adequate. And then there was a change of leadership at Duke. And all of a sudden, things started sort of getting a little bit more difficult, a little harder, a little bit more, you know, less understanding and, you know, pushing and pushing and pushing. And so there was some concerns for months now that Duke was not.
They weren't coming to as many meetings.
They were not going to hold up their end of the deal. And so there were lots of conversations. I mean, you know.
You know, it's just, it's such an easy analogy to say, you know, it's a relationship. And, you know, when one party in the relationship is kind of looking around and going, oh, I should be dating someone else, you know, it's, you just have to find a way to talk about it. And in this case, it's an arranged marriage, if you will. It's not like you can do big things in Durham and just not mention it to Duke.
Right.
Duke is an enormous landowner in Durham and Orange County.
Right, in Orange County.
And, and you know, they're at the table. One way or the other, they are an elephant in the room, a gorilla in the room, whatever that silly analogy is. I always thought that analogy, by the way, was what do you do with a 600-pound canary? I mean, a 600-pound gorilla is not that remarkable.
Right.
Or elephant.
But a canary?
But a canary, you know, what does he eat? Whatever he wants. So.
But you're right. I mean, I think that, Duke, you know, at the end, we sent in everybody that we could to talk with Duke. So we had Mayor Shule go. We had Wendy Jacobs, who was the chair of the county commissioners in Durham. We had Ellen Reckow. We had Jeff Mann. We had Shelley Blake. We had anyone that you can think about that any kind of relationship with Duke, we had sent in. And, you know, it just felt like we were getting nowhere
just,
with them.
Yeah, just knocking on a door and nobody on the other side.
No. And, you know, we were trying. And then we would get these little bits of hope that maybe we could get there. And, you know, it was a tease, right? It was like, you know, okay.
Or just buying time until they could figure out how to break it off.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, I'll make this suggestion. I'll just make this my offer as a host of the Weekend Water Cooler, a program very important to Duke University.
As you wear your Carolina shirt.
Yes. As I wear my Carolina shirt quite proudly today, I will make this offer. I would suggest that you and the top players in the Durham government, city and county, try to make create an opportunity to sit down with Duke and not talk about light rail, but talk about process and ways that we can go forward and do business together so that we go forward only with agreement.
Right.
And Get a process figured out.
Right. Well, I think that's very important, right? Because as you said, we still have to move people around. We still need a comprehensive transit plan. We still have to
and
have
now you've got
a regional plan.
Big trust problem.
There is a big problem. And, you know, we still have to get the people that are working at Duke Hospital to Duke Hospital.
Right.
And they may work in Alamance. We still have to get them across to Orange County to get them over to Durham.
Right.
I mean,
and a friend of mine who lives in Durham, she works for a statewide organization. She lives in Durham, and she had a meeting in Charlotte, and it was shortly after, not very long after the light rail thing fell apart. And she said, you know, I'm at 7:30 on the highway to get out of Durham. And she says, you know, it's locked. I mean, it's just, I can't get out of town.
You can't do anything.
You can't move.
I was trying to get to Raleigh yesterday for the Governor's Women's Celebration History Month.
Yeah.
And I was on I-40. It was 3:45 in the afternoon.
Jammed.
Bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
Durham.
Because of an incident. This is just volume.
There was no incident because, you know, we finally got there. Yeah, it's just so this was a really good solution to get cars off the road. And now it's a disappointing ending.
And it was going to be years away as it is.
It was. So. It was. But we were ready to break ground in 2020. That's the hard part, you know? And so here's the thing, though, Gene. You know, it's not only the transportation. Now we're going to have to lay people off. So there goes those jobs. The new jobs that it was going to create, it's never going to create. The economic development that it's going to bring, it will never bring. The affordable housing, we could talk a little bit about that, never going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, the whole idea.
I mean, Durham made a huge commitment to affordable housing associated with that.
Huge commitment. The biggest problem for me is the jobs that we were going to create with this. This is so important to this region. And now, you know, quite frankly, new companies are not going to come here because they want their workers to be able to commute back
and
forth.
Get to work on time.
Without getting in a car.
Right.
That is what new businesses want. They don't want this old model where everybody drives and they have to build these huge parking lots and everybody's got to, you know, that's not what they want anymore.
Right.
We're going to, you know, we're just going to lose out. It's that the it is clear that we are not going to be the first choice of new businesses anymore.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to take that as our point to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to come back with the good news about what happens next and wonderful things that we can do. I don't know what they are yet, but Penny's going to tell us. We're talking to Penny Rich, who always has wonderful things to tell us here on the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm very, very grateful for that. And you're listening. I'm grateful for you, too. You're listening to 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're back with Penny Rich and talking about government red tape and that government invented red tape. You know, I'll tell you something. In the Trump administration,
oh boy, here we go.
I have been so grateful for a certain amount of red tape. You know, I heard discussion on cable news the other night. I'm just going to admit to this. I heard discussion on cable news the other night about Trump's ridiculous statement about Republicans are going to be the party of great health care. And the way we're going to do this, folks, is we're going to take away everyone's health care under the ACA, about 20 million Americans, including yours truly. And then we're just going to come up with something else. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
And what I heard that is at one point hilarious and at another from another angle offensive to me is the anchor saying, oh, what's going to happen if the court case goes the way Trump wants, and then the ACA disappears overnight? And I'm like, come on, man. You know, my husband's worked in insurance all of his life. I come from Hartford, Connecticut. I'm an insurance baby, okay? Insurance has put a lot of food in my mouth practically my whole life. I know a couple of things about insurance. It's a very regulated industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing I do know for sure, if the Supreme Court ruled tomorrow morning that the ACA is completely unconstitutional, which incidentally, they already had a chance to do that and if they did that, though, it would take more than a year to unwind that law. It doesn't work that way that you can just, you know, there are state regulations about insurance products.
No. You're thinking this through like a normal
like
human
a person.
Being.
Yes,
yeah.
I know.
We have a president who has a simple mind who just does not understand that. First of all, he doesn't understand government. And second of all, when he says, well, we're going to come up with a great replacement.
It's going to be great.
That doesn't mean that there's
it's
a
gonna
replacement.
It's going to cost less. Do you know what he pulled out of his portfolio as his suggestion, which was, I mean, this is just so stupid that it's funny, is that he said, look, people will go to hospitals and then the hospitals will bill the government. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Very simple.
It's simple. That's what
I said.
Great. It's a simple mind that
and
doesn't understand.
It's the solution of a simple mind.
Mind. Ooh, that sounds like a good song.
It's just solutions of a simple mind. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a title of a wistful book or
something.
Or a band. Solutions of a Simple Mind.
I like it.
The latest in rock and roll, Solutions of a Simple Mind, a simple drum beat of fear and all that. Well, anyway, so I digressed. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's quite all right.
A little bit.
And that's why we're the water cooler.
So it's cool here at the water cooler. So here's, it's too bad what happened with light rail. I would love it if it came to pass that the parties involved really reach some deep understanding about why it fell apart, and there was some really meaningful, if private and off the record, you know, throwdown behind closed doors right. about what really happened. I think that would be beneficial to the communities in the longer term. But it could be that there are micro solutions that come forward that can help alleviate some of these problems. I think that Durham's commitment to affordable housing, if light rail or the promise of light rail help facilitate that, well, then it was worth it because the community has completely gotten behind its commitment to affordable housing in Durham. I just full disclosure, I do some work still. I still work for the Durham Housing Authority as a consultant, doing a good part of the job that I used to do as an employee. And I've been working with the CEO, who's been very, very active in advocating for the light rail project and how it was going to help low-income families in the downtown area, many of whom live in public housing. I'm really happy to see the Housing Authority working just hand in glove with the city and the Durham city and county governments working so well as they have been,
with Orange. They are really, they're very unique and how close they work together.
Yeah.
I mean, they share the same planning department. They
right.
share a lot of things,
that's
the
right.
county and
yeah,
the city.
They do.
So it really does help things move along a whole lot smoother.
Right.
And I agree with you, their commitment to affordable housing has been
incredible. I mean, oh my God, you drive around downtown
incredible.
Lately.
Yeah.
And it's just apartments, apartments, apartments everywhere downtown.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's breathtaking, the amount of housing development.
Right.
And this is just, these are relatively small apartment units. These are not luxury condos and
right.
and all of this stuff. And this is stuff that's already being built right now. So all those people are going to need to get where they're going, especially if they're going to work.
Yeah. And they're not building parking. So that's another thing, you know.
Right. And
the
as you look at them, you drive around, you
yeah.
can see that there are not
they're
comparable parking garages.
That's
there's
right.
not a space for every housing unit.
That's right.
There.
And, you know, parking is really expensive. Let's just start there. You know, we're thinking about building a library in Carrboro.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about like $20,000 for one spot, right? And the county needs what we think is about 50 spots. Just
wow.
think about that for parking.
Yeah,
for parking. So when you think about this, and they purposefully in Durham did not build parking because they were depending on the light rail stops to make sure that people can get wherever they want.
Can get where they need
so
to go.
So we still need to move people around. You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, these are the conversations that will start after the vote. So Orange County is going to vote on it on Tuesday. Durham County will the following week will vote. I think that I'm not sure when their business meeting is, but I think they might make an exception and even vote during a work session, which we don't normally
right.
like to do.
Right.
But we do want to move things forward and start having these conversations. Right.
right?
And the agreement that we have to legally follow this agreement.
Right.
Like we said before.
And these votes are part of the agreement.
These votes are all part of the agreement. So we're not doing anything that is sort of like, oh, surprise, they're doing something. No. We're following legally what we need to be doing.
Right. Because closing out an agreement is part of any agreement. You know, a friend of mine who's a lawyer told me once, I asked her to have a look at a contract that I was drawing up for work between me and a client. And she said, well, just remember that contracts are not for when everything goes great.
Right.
Therefore, when you break up.
Right. It's
you want to make
up.
Sure everybody's treated fairly.
That's right.
And that everybody gets out with what they understood they would get out with if it didn't work out.
Right.
And they're really meant to avoid lawsuits.
Exactly.
And
that's
know.
Exactly what they're about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what we will be doing soon is starting to gather people together to start talking about how we amend this transit plan.
Right.
We're not abandoning the transit plan.
Right.
We are
you still
amending.
Have a transit plan. It's
that's
just
right.
going to have different. It's going to have a
right.
different look now.
So everybody has to realize that, though, because we're hearing about, well, we should give the money back to the towns, we should give the money back to this and that. That's not what, when we're talking about a comprehensive transit plan, That's not how it works. We don't suddenly just give money away. We understand that there are needs
right.
with all of the stakeholders.
Which continue to exist,
they will
even though the plan didn't work out.
That's right.
It's part of it.
Right. So we can take another look at that and see how we can assist with that better. Maybe we help grow something so it can be moving more people around.
Right.
But this is all going to take time, Gene. This is not going to happen overnight.
Right. Right.
So, you know, someone's saying, oh, we need more money because we can do this, this, and that. Take a deep breath. This is, you know, the first plan.
Yeah, it's a
years.
Setback. I mean, there's no yeah. doubt about it. It's a
yeah.
setback.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to mean it's, you know, it's the end of every possibility.
That's right.
And we have to be imaginative.
And we have to be positive, right? Because we still need to think about what does public transit look like? What do we want to look like with public transit? So we still need to, like, be positive and say, we are committed to public transportation.
Right.
And what that looks like right now, we don't know. But we will invite all our stakeholders. We will have public hearings. You know, it will go through the same, if not similar, process that it did before.
Yeah. And you know, there's always going to be some folks who are disappointed and who take mistrust from this.
Yeah.
Mistrust of you and mistrust of other people who are working on this in good faith. And they're going to have folks whispering in their ear, well, you know, talk to Penny, but you may not get the whole thing from Penny. Well, look, there's human beings involved in these transactions. And, you know, it's just going to take some time, I think, to rebuild the public's faith in the process going forward. And I think, just speaking for myself, when I experience this kind of thing, I think, well, then I've got to do what I need to do to satisfy myself that these people are giving me the whole story.
Right.
And if it means making it easier for them to tell me something I don't really want to hear, then maybe that's what I need to do.
Well,
that's what I'm suggesting about sitting down with Duke and saying,
yeah.
give it to us straight. We have to go forward.
Right.
We're in a relationship with you, Duke.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And really, the truth is, I hope I'm not spilling the beans about anything, but the truth is that between UNC and Duke, really, it's only the athletic departments that are at war.
Yeah, let's stop the competition on everything else. Yeah,
that's a pretty friendly war.
I know.
You know, we share a community. There is intense, a huge amount of cooperation. It's unlistable amount of cooperation between these mega universities that live on a world-class stage. And we're in a relationship with them.
Right.
And believe me, if you fall down the stairs in Durham and somebody's going to bring you to the hospital, you're going to be pretty happy to be at Duke.
Right.
I've been there as a patient myself.
Exactly.
As a family member for a patient.
Me
and
too.
I'm telling you,
you know,
they know what they're doing.
I agree. We've got to work together. I just want to go back to one thing you just said about information and getting information.
Right.
So information on light rail was changing minute by minute.
Yeah.
And it still will change rapidly.
Right.
So, for example, we're trying to set up a meeting, and I know this is going to happen. This, you know, previews over the weekend, but we're trying to set up a meeting for Monday. It's Friday afternoon.
You're still working on it.
I am still working on trying to get this meeting together.
Yeah.
We have people that are out of town. There's been
right.
You know, it was spring
break. A
little
computer hack.
Yeah. Right. We had a computer hack. So, you know, it's kind of like weird to say, well, we're not getting all the information. I'm giving you the information I know at the time.
Right.
Right. That
right.
if it changes in 10 minutes from now and you say,
right.
well, you didn't tell me that. Well, you asked me to give you the information that I can give you.
Right.
I'm trying to do my best at that.
Right. Right.
So it's, you know.
And see, I don't have any doubt about that because I know you and I trust you. And I think that when stuff like this happens, you know, there's a certain level of looking sideways at officials,
right.
not having to do with you personally, having to do with, well, you know, they told us that was going to happen, but, you know. So, I mean, I guess I'm saying, you know, I think everybody needs to forgive themselves a little bit if they feel like, if they feel that sense of foreboding, mistrust.
Yeah.
Everybody's
take a deep breath,
yeah.
right? Every once in a while.
I like the breathing.
Yeah, because you think you want to say something and then, you know, if you just...
Yeah.
Sit back for a deep breath.
You're going to have to, whenever you say that, especially if you say it in writing.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be there.
Just,
that can leave a mark.
Yeah.
This is a lesson I know too well. You know, we all have relatives. Anyway,
that's right.
So we're going to come back for just a few more minutes with our good friend Penny Rich, and you're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. And we're back with Penny Rich. We're always talking about fair housing on my program because, you know, I'm a big fair housing person. I work in this for longer than I want to say. So April is Fair Housing Month.
Yep.
And, you know, I have to tell you that I read some things that are going on with HUD and, you know, stories about the HUD secretary who just, oh my goodness.
Seriously?
Really. It's just defies explanation. So
frightening.
Yeah, yeah. So Fair Housing Month, fair housing and jobs, affordable housing and jobs and transportation, these are the three legs of the stool. You can't have one without the others.
That's right.
And it's incredibly important to have housing that teachers and firefighters and all kinds of first responders, police officers, EMS, you know, that so that they can live in the community and know the community and be part of the community that they're serving.
Right.
And it just seems to me that, you know, I know you guys did what you could in passing the bond, and if it was probably up to you, that bond might have been about $30 million.
That's right. I was asking for 10. We got 5.
Yeah, we got 5.
Yeah.
So you know, what happens next? I know that there's, I know, for example, that the budget process is coming up. There's, I think, $1 million a year in regular scheduled budget spending.
Right.
That's for housing.
Right.
And I know that there are some grants that are going on that are RFPs are out and whatever. So what's going on with the fair housing action in Orange County?
Yeah. So we have about 2.5 million left of that.
Right,
that
of the 5 in the
bank. And so that we just made a real conscious effort to change up some of the ways that we're going to distribute that money. We went through that, and we're going to, it's on our consent agenda for Tuesday night.
Right.
So, you know, there were some things that needed to change up, so we make sure that we can get the most out of our dollars, the most
right.
units out of our dollars. So the two new commissioners had a lot of questions because
sure.
they weren't there when the original matrix was created. Sally, of course, wanted the transportation very much connected to it. But there are places out in the county that we don't have transportation, but there's still affordable housing that's needed. For example, there's a Habitat for Humanity project that is out in the county, and it's not necessarily along a bus line, but those folks needed housing up there.
Yeah.
So you got to think about it. Even though the three-legged stool, there was a woman that worked for the county that was living in Alamance. She could not find housing in Orange County. Habitat built housing. She put her name on. She got in there. And she's just so thrilled. Her and her two daughters, she sees her daughters now. She doesn't,
yeah.
She's not on the road, you know, commuting.
Right, on the road. Yeah.
So, and she's 10 minutes away from work. So if her daughters are in a play at school, she can take, you know, a few minutes at lunch, go run over, see
right.
them, run back to work.
Right.
Really, you know, important. So that's step one. Step two, the $1 million a year, we're starting to think about how we can create our own sort of distribution for rental properties.
Right.
And
right.
so that's what we're doing now. We're trying to get that set up, and we're working with our housing department, the coalition, everybody. Thank you, Gene. that's unique for
and
us.
And these are modeled after HUD's Section 8
program.
Yeah,
but we're going to be doing it ourselves. So the county
right.
will be administering it. And,
right.
you know, it's a step in the right direction. We'll see if it works, what we need to do better. Again, you know, we'll try and bring that
right.
around. I do think that we need to coordinate a little bit more with the towns. And we know that there's an affordable housing. There are dollars in Chapel Hill. You know, Chapel Hill and Carrboro have these mobile park homes that we know are going to disappear.
Right.
We absolutely have to focus on that. And sometimes I think we do, and we say we do, and sometimes it's just feel good, and then we turn around
yeah.
and we're not. And so that one on Weaver Dairy, the Lakeview or whatever
mm-hmm.
that, we know that that's going to come up for redevelopment real
right.
soon.
Right.
Again.
The property's just too valuable
it's
for it
too
not to
valuable.
Happen.
Yeah. And it honestly.
And it's on the bus line.
Yeah, I mean that should be mixed use. You should have the you know, you should have commercial up there.
Right.
Think about where it is. Right. So.
Right.
Apartments, commercial. We're going to continue having these conversations. I think Sally is going to be a great champion for this when she came on the board.
Well, this is something that I will say that that Durham is doing, or the Housing Authority and the city collectively is just doing an amazing thing with this major downtown redevelopment plan. And lots and lots of community input, and there are going to be folks who are going to be relocated. Nobody's going to be put out on the street or displaced, because you have to build back one to one. If they get all of that done, I mean, those plans are just
fabulous.
Very fantastically
fabulous.
Beautiful plans, and it's just going to be an absolutely beautiful thing if they get all of that done. And the part that kind of sticks in my craw is that there's not just a little more help from the federal government in the way of programs and leadership, and you know, I miss that.
We
had that.
We can change that.
So we're going to be setting about working on that next year.
There's going to be a lot of water coolers about that. I do like what you're saying, though, that no one gets thrown out. It's a one for one, right? So that's something that I don't think that we have been doing well here in Orange County for a very long time. And
those are HUD regs, you know. It's
but we're not doing it.
It's a great idea, but it's also
because we have developers that are coming in here, and it costs a lot to build in Orange County. We know that, right?
Right.
But we have the over 55, that development that was proposed in Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. They were willing to give 20 apartments, rental apartments for affordable housing, 60% and below.
Right.
It didn't pass yet. And I'm like looking at Chapel Hill, and I'm like, they don't have to do that. They don't have to give you 20.
No, they offered that.
This is an apartment building, folks.
They offered that.
And so you put it in there.
You need to break your neck to make that happen.
Exactly.
Right. I mean,
break your neck to make it happen and sign an agreement that those apartments stay affordable for 50 years. All right. You don't have to go for the 99 years. Go for 50 years.
Go for 50.
You know, but you do. You don't vote something like that down.
No, you got to find a way to make it work.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like Tim Gunn says on Project Runway, make it work.
Make it work. Make it work, Gene.
Well, I thank you, Penny Rich. We're over time, of course, as usual. So,
see what you have to cut out.
So we're just, and I've got to run out of the studio and run next door and talk to Aaron for half an hour. So.
Oh, that's right. You're on.
Yeah, I'm on at 3:30.
Tweeting you in between?
Oh, my God.
It's like, where are you?
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
Where am I? I'm in the next room. Yeah. The call is coming from in the house.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us,
God,
as usual.
Thank you.
And come back soon and forever and always. And great friend of the show. And everybody go out and have a wonderful weekend. And I hope that we're all listening to Caroline on the Final Four right after you listen to the Water Cooler.
There we go.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc, and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.